The numbers told the story, they always do.
He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the Visa app, Fubo, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It's Gil Alexander, Matt Santos in the chair today, in for the, I won't say vacation in Kelly Bidlin. When you go to a wedding, is that considered a vacation?
It depends. Yeah. I think it depends on the wedding and how you feel.
He'll be drinking, so yeah. I'm sure he treats it as a... As a vacation of sorts. By the way, Matt Santos, for those who are keen numbers game historians, may recall that Matt was with us for, 2 months during the pandemic?
2 months, yeah.
2 months. In between 6 and 7.
Yeah, so 6.5.
6.5. That's what you are, Matt Santos, 6.5. In between Danny Burke, 6, and the great Jason Kahn at 7. All right, well, it's great to have you here. You'll be here for the rest of the week, yes?
I will be, yeah.
All right, well, we love it. Today on the show, packed. Drew Dinsick will join us from NBC Sports Bet the Edge podcast and also the Deep Dive podcast to talk NFL. See if he has any tennis plays as well. Michael Craig from Right Angle Sports. Now, everybody, let's all relax for a second. Michael Craig is going to join us, but we don't have a release today. Are we allowed to have Michael Craig on without a release? No release this morning. But Michael Craig will join us to give college football thoughts. Mike Pritchard talking National Football League with us. And then we'll have some baseball from Will Hill, also some football from Will Hill as well. Jason Weingarten towards the end of the show, under a cloud of smoke. And Andy McNeil, you ready for some hockey? Huh? No? Anybody? Pacific Division preview today. Hockey season just around the corner. Not too close around the corner, but it's on the horizon. October 5th, I believe, is when the season starts in earnest. Andy McNeil coming on the cusp of the VSiN Hockey Betting Guide. He will join us to talk Pacific Division and see how he lays that out. Where do the Vegas Golden Knights figure into that equation? First, though, for those who have jumped on with us here on A Numbers Game, the Atlanta Braves NL East Division bets. Now, here's the thing. Every day I go into a sports book, and every day I say to myself, the Braves to win the NL East is just the best bet on the board. I can't make a better bet than this. So for almost half of the month of September, every day I walk in there and I make a bet on the Braves. I don't recall doing this in this way with anything else in my life, really, just to do it every day, a little bit every day. But this is how it's gone for me with the Braves to win the NL East. And you will see on the screen here, I have made no fewer than 13 wagers on the Atlanta Braves to win the NL East at varying numbers. As low as plus 170, there's one plus 170 in there, but as a big bang for my buck as plus 350. The only day that I did not bet the Braves, and the only day where I thought that the price was fair, meaning where it should be, was again the day that they fell behind 2.5. We're talking about Friday night, Saturday morning now. The prospect of Spencer Strider going on the IL was in front of us. Jacob deGrom was about to have a start for the Mets. And at that point, I was like, well, you know what? It should be 5-1. So I didn't bet that. But every other day, when they've been within 1.5, one or half, and within one of the loss column or tied in the loss column, I thought this number is not right. And last night, the Mets lose their second out of the third ball game, really their third out of the fifth, but what's consequential here in this race, their second in three, they lose, the Mets do, to the Florida Marlins. That would be the Miami Marlins these days. And then, simultaneous, the Braves, of course, crushing the Washington Nationals, which is what they kind of do with that franchise. Now, what did that mean? What that meant was, because the Mets have the tiebreaker, now both teams are even Steven with 7 games left in the season, a 3-game set against each other begins Friday night in Atlanta. But the loss for the Mets yesterday and the win for the Braves, because the Mets have the tiebreaker, what that did, gaining that game and going into a tie now, yes, if the season were to end right now, the Mets would win. But what it did was it no longer means, now let's assume, and that's a big word, right? You know what assuming does. But let's say tonight Washington can get by the Nationals, and it's not the best pitching, not their best starting pitcher, that's for sure. It's Jake Odorizzi going up against Josiah Gray, but the Braves are minus 225 favorites. Let's assume they win. Let's assume the Mets win. It's Taijuan Walker going up against Jesus Luzardo for the Metropolitans. They're about minus 185 favorites. Let's say both teams win. What that outcome, what those outcomes last night did is the Braves are no longer required to sweep the Mets. Now it's just a best of three for a team, assuming both win tonight, let's just say, whoever wins two out of three of this series this weekend is in first place heading into the final three games of the season. So that was a massive, massive turn of events, not only Saturday, but of course yesterday as well. So what does that mean? If you were landing on this bet right now, would you bet the Braves at plus 150? You can still get the Braves, even after yesterday's outcomes. You could still get them at plus 150. Is that a good bet? Now, mathematically, they've done the math, right? Because if you look ahead to this weekend, Friday's matchup is going to be Chris Bassett for the Mets going up against Max Fried for the Braves. The Braves will be favored in that game Friday. By the way, this is all weather permitting. Let's put a pin in that because that might come back to just be the biggest joke on baseball. But it's going to be Bassett against Fried Friday night. The Braves are going to be favorites in that game. Saturday, it's going to be Jacob deGrom going up against Kyle Wright, the 20-game winner. Mets will be favored Saturday, despite the fact that Jacob deGrom had the worst outing of his career on Saturday against the Athletics. And then Sunday night baseball, it's going to be Max Scherzer going up against really the weak link of this for the Braves and Charlie Morton. Charlie Morton gets a lot of strikeouts, but really has not had a good go of it here of late in his career. Pardon me, getting so emotional talking about this. So the point is that anything can happen here. Obviously, it's baseball, for goodness sake. But we have set ourselves up nicely to this juncture. And so the question becomes, is the plus 150 a good bet? I would argue it still is a good bet. And despite the math being what it is, what I am saying is that the nuance of not having to sweep the Mets now, based on what happened last night, changes the calculus enough where I still think the plus 150 is out of whack. I really do. That's not really... That's the point in all of this that I think is getting lost by what happened last night. They no longer require a sweep. They only have to win two of three, and that's a bigger deal to me than the actual sacredness of the math moving forward with the plus 150. So I would still bet it if you don't have a bet on it yet. Seven games remaining. Now, here's the thing. There's a 30% chance of precipitation in Atlanta on Friday. There's a 70% chance of precipitation in Atlanta on Saturday. Now, when I drove in here this morning, it was like, you know, sky to ground lightning bolts. So that was the universe's way to remind me, hey, this affects, obviously, could affect more than just the baseball this weekend. Obviously, there's a whole bunch that could be affected by what is now Hurricane Ian, and what is now Hurricane Ian as a Category 4 hurricane, which is supposed to get go on shore in the Gulf Coast area of Fort Myers and Tampa today, and is right there now as we speak. And so really, to everybody who is a resident of that portion of the country who's listening here tonight, this morning, rather, I should say, 2 million people are asked to evacuate. Really, all the best to all of you, and really take heed, because this is obviously a serious thing when it's a hurricane of this strength. But what does that do from a sports perspective? College football, East Carolina, South Florida, in case you missed it, that ball game is moving from Tampa across the state of Florida to Boca Raton this weekend. Eastern Washington versus Florida. They've decided not to move it in terms of geography, but to move it from Saturday to Sunday. The Central Florida game against SMU is moved from Saturday to Sunday already. And there's also a South Carolina State, South Carolina game, by the way, that moved from Saturday to Thursday. Now, the thing about the games moving from Saturday to Sunday, what the assumption is, and again, assuming with tropical storms or hurricane is always a risky deal, that's for sure. Because the assumption is that it will then continue to move up the Gulf Coast and out of, you know, out of the distance of Tampa, up northern areas of the Florida coast. Well, you know how this works. Sometimes these tropical storms, these hurricanes as it is now, will just linger randomly. So the hope is that it goes away. Certainly offshore would be the biggest hope. But if it lingers, those games that were postponed till Sunday, they might have to get scuttled again. And that then could affect the NFL game on Sunday between the Tampa Bay Bucks and the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, proposed locations, if they have to move that game, they're talking about the Midwest region of this country, and the obvious choice, they're saying, would be to play the game in Minneapolis because the Vikings are playing in London. So you could have a scenario where this Sunday night football game between the Bucks and the Chiefs could be moved to Minneapolis. Just keep that in mind. One more thing before we get Drew Densick in here to talk some football and maybe some tennis. Just a reminder, friendly reminder, when we're talking about these awards in baseball, go back to baseball for a second, because we saw this article yesterday in the San Diego Union Tribune from Kevin Acey. And he is a voter. He has a vote in the National League MVP race. And it was just sort of fait accompli that Paul Goldschmidt was going to win the MVP. Maybe he still will. But in this piece, Kevin Acey said, hey, listen, and by the way, let me just throw in Goldschmidt, in case you missed it, is kind of taking September off. He went 2-for-4 last night, and that raised his average in September to .246. He only has two homers in the month. So this is Acey in the San Diego Union Tribune. He said, I am one of 30 NL MVP voters. I haven't made up my mind. I have hardly begun to consider whether Paul Goldschmidt diminishes Nolan Arenado's deservedness or vice versa. Nor have I begun to decipher whether Mookie Betts or Freddie Freeman was more central to the success of baseball's best team. At the very least, this final week and a half will be as crucial to the MVP race as it is to the playoff race. How about that? He goes on to say, but since August 3rd, Manny Machado leads the NL with a 988 OPS, tied with the Mets' Pete Alonso for the league lead with 42 RBI, and is second to the Cardinals' Albert Pujols with 12 home runs. What happened on August 3rd, by the way? That's when Juan Soto joined the Padres. So Machado has had another elite player on his team since then, and look what that did for him. Anyway, just a friendly reminder that sometimes those of us who are immersed in betting, we are so close to the sun on these awards markets, you just never know if there's a surprise in store in any of these. Could it be NL MVP? Obviously would be a shocker. Now, the thing is, I don't see NL MVP markets up anywhere this morning. I do see AL MVP. Why there isn't an NL MVP if the AL MVP is so done, I'm not sure. But just keep that in mind. We could see a surprise in one of these markets. A long shot may very well come home. Drew Dinsick on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget, it's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. As always, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander. Matt Santos is in for Kelly Bidlin. The great Kelly Bidlin, who debuted the college football guessing line segment yesterday. It was fabulous. Just absolutely fabulous. Matt Santos is in. Matt, are you in either Circa Millions or Survivor?
Millions.
Millions.
Yeah. One entry in Millions.
How you doing so far?
I'm doing okay.
Doing okay.
Yeah, I had a rough week one, so it's kind of bouncing, you know, climbing back in.
You're a football soccer better? Is that what you
are? Yeah. Yeah, so, but, like, my brain right now is full NFL. So, like, with the World Cup coming up, we, you know, I have a bunch of futures, but I can't go match by match. It's NFL season, so.
Right. How about the World Cup being in November, by the way? How much does that suck?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it.
Yeah.
I mean, we are definitely missing something this summer, and that could have been there, so.
Well, Survivor is, as I've said often on this show, Survivor is what ultimately I end up caring about the most, no matter, it's like I have bets in my account, I'm in Circa Millions. You do all this other random stuff during football season. And in the end, the thing you end up caring about the most if you're in Survivor is Survivor. And so again, you know, what are the candidates? And we'll just sort of say this once a day, crescendoing to Friday on these, but what are the candidates for this week? And we talked about it a little yesterday. And it is not as harrowing, I don't think, as last week, but it is kind of harrowing. Because again, what is your confidence level? 25 different teams were picked in Circa Survivor this past week. 25 of 32 National Football League teams. Remember, it started with 6,133 entries. It's already down to 1,550 after 3 weeks. Gets a little easier if you look ahead of the schedule after this week. But I don't know. Do you trust the Detroit Lions this week? Do you trust the Lions, Matt? Do you trust them at all? Do you trust the Eagles in their game against the Jaguars? I don't know. I'm asking rhetorically, but at the same time, I'm not sure who I trust here. By the way, the Lions, of course, hosting the Seahawks. They are that line is actually coming down. Take that for what it's worth. Eagles hosting the Jaguars. Do you trust the Chargers on the road against the Texans? Maybe. Packers are the big favorite on the board. If you have not used the Packers yet, do you just use them here? Packers also have home games against the Giants and the Jets in the next couple weeks, too, so you can have you have an opportunity to use them moving forward as well. And then there's the Giants themselves. Do you trust the Giants in any circumstance? They happen to host the Bears. There are other candidates, but those are some of the ones to ponder. Drew Dinsick joins us now from NBC Sports Bet the Edge podcast, and of course the deep dive, which he does with his buddy Andy Molitor. Dinsick Classic, as we like to call it, at Whale underscore Capper. How you doing, Drew?
I'm well, Gil. How about you? It's been 3 weeks of the NFL season, and now we're mid-season form.
How's it going for you so far? Now, do you, at this point, well, you can answer that question, but at this point, do you sort of slough off everything you thought about preseason and you're working with the 3 weeks of data, or how does it work for you?
It's team by team. Some teams, you have to drastically update your prior. I'm looking specifically at the Chargers. Some teams you have to, you have to kind of stick to what you think coming into the season. I'm looking specifically at the Bengals. So, it's team by team for me, really, in terms of how I'm weighting my prior. But, I think we're kind of getting, it's fair to step back and look through 3 weeks of the season and feel like, hey, last week was preseason week three, practically.
Yeah.
The way a lot of these teams are playing, the sloppy offense we've seen to this point in the season, I mean, the fact that we're scoring 42 points a game is kind of insane. Your quarterback play has just been extremely underwhelming so far. The injury situations for all of these teams is more aggressive early in the season than I can ever remember. So, this is a pretty unique season for my handicap.
I've asked you some form of this before, but at 3 weeks in now, what's the team where you're like, oh, I didn't think they would be much, but they're legit good now. I've accepted that they're legit good. And to the opposite of that, which team are you like, you know what? I thought they were going to be good, but man, they just might be the same old blank.
I'm going to try not to get too confident in a position that I'm pretty excited about, but I think the Jaguars are legit good. There's enough signal there for me. And that was probably the biggest stock up team after seeing all of Sunday's performances, the way that the defense really has continued to progress. And they're getting some outstanding play from some young contributors on top of the fact that the offense and Trevor Lawrence has taken the expected year two step forward with an adult in charge there. So, Jaguars absolutely look like a factor to me in the kind of the landscape of the AFC playoff picture. And then also I would say that the Falcons offense is for real. Everything that they're doing from a scheme standpoint and the integration of their young weapons looks to be working, and as far as I can tell you. So, those were kind of the two sort of convictions I had that have been, relatively strongly validated through 3 weeks here. I expected a lot more out of, I guess the Chiefs offense is probably one that I would point to as I'm struggling really right now. I expected them to play a lot better in week three than we saw. The performance that they put up against that Colts was really, really suspect. And that's 2 weeks in a row now that you just seen a little bit uneven performance after they looked so good in week one. And I guess my real concern about what's going on with the Chiefs, and this definitely impacts sort of the long-term outlook of this team, is, two of their last four games, they have lost with Pat Mahomes, fighting with Eric Bieniemy in the locker room on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. And that's the fact, if those two guys can't coexist, I don't know what's going on in terms of the future of this offense progressing. Pat Mahomes is somewhat of a stubborn character, and he seems to have, knows how important he is to the Chiefs as an organization, how important he is to that offense in terms of success. And if he's, not interested in working with Bieniemy and just can't coexist, then that's going to get ugly quickly. And Andy Reid's not a guy that I would put near the top of my list as far as being able to resolve conflict or smooth over kind of internal wrinkles like that. So that's absolutely worth watching in my mind, because if the Chiefs aren't an elite team and the Bills are dealing with all of these injuries defensively and, they're just incredibly one dimensional right now, then all of a sudden nobody's good in the NFL.
Right.
So,
right.
That's kind of where I'm at. And it's a weird feeling, because usually we're kind of reflecting on, oh man, the teams that are good are good, just like we thought. And all these other teams are good too. But, this year it feels like you know, and parity is reigning supreme. And we could come out of, you know, this week coming up and, you know, there'll be no undefeated teams and no teams with losses. And I wouldn't be surprised.
Pete Rozelle's dream of parity, never more apparent here in the year 2022. Let me just ask you this, Drew. If I get a snapshot into your betting account, say on a Sunday morning, right before kickoff, obviously we spend all week talking about sides and totals because it's the easiest thing to latch onto. It's what most people bet within that construct. But if I look into your accounts and look at the betting pie of NFL, what percentage is sides? What is totals? What is live betting? What is props? What are the different things you're doing?
I have about 70% sides, about 30% totals going into kickoff on Sunday, 0% props. I am not a prop originator at all. There are times I'll tail some hot stuff if I can get a good size bet down, but it's, if you're a prop bettor, it is a grind, and you need to be, you know, you need a ton of accounts to be able to get a decent size bet down. But sides and totals, not at all. Like, you can, you know, I like working pretty much by myself for NFL in that regard. And so I can get some pretty decent bet sizes on, especially on sides, but, so 70-30 sides totals. And then, in game, I don't do a ton of betting, but I do, probably about another, you know, proportionally another 20% in terms of second half action as we go through the slate of games on a Sunday.
Anything on tomorrow night's game between the Dolphins and the Bengals?
Yeah, I like the Bengals in that one. I have a ticket I'm feeling very, very good about from Sunday on the Bengals there. Pretty decent, I hold the Bengals in relatively high regard compared to market. I think that they still can, you know, grow into the third best team in the NFL, maybe even better, depending on how, you know, what happens with the Bills and the Chiefs. But this is about as good a situational spot as is going to exist for any NFL team all season. You have a Bengals squad that's going into Thursday Night Football at home that is hosting a Dolphins team that has, you know, that just played an absolute, exceptionally physical contest against the Bills on Sunday, turn around on a short week with an injured quarterback, with some huge question marks and some key positional players like Jaylen Waddle and Xavier Howard. And then on top of all that, they've had no practice this week because of the travel situation with the hurricane. And you have a rookie head coach on Thursday Night Football. I mean, this checks every single box that the Bengals should win this with margin.
We will find out what else Drew bet this weekend. There's more than just the game tomorrow night, but all that is so true. Checks all the boxes for why this is about as good a spot. If you're into spot analysis, checks all the boxes for that as well. NFL, and let's see if he has any tennis plays, as they're playing tennis all around the world these days on all kinds of surfaces. That's on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start your football season on the right foot by subscribing to VSiN Pro. Get full access to everything we do. That includes our daily picks and a glance recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. 24/7 video, season prep, including our weekly college and pro football matchup guides covering every game all season long. Pro tools like our exclusive betting splits and pro tips updated every hour with actionable insights to up your betting game. Sign up on our discounted football special and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl for only $175. Or save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. Skill Alexander, Matt Santos in for Kelly Bidlin this morning. Drew Dinsick, kind enough to hang with us for another segment this morning. Before we get back to football, Drew, they are playing tennis all over planet Earth. They might be playing in other planets too, but the men are in Sofia, Bulgaria. That's indoor hard. Seoul is outdoor hard. Tel Aviv, play on Rosh Hashanah the other day. Indoor hard. This is for a certain segment of the audience. WTA, they're in Parma on clay. Tayin is indoor hard as well. So they're all over the globe. Are you betting any of these?
You know, I took a tough loss in the final with Zhang Qinwen last week. So yeah. I think that's going to close the book for me on tennis for a while. I've had a lot of second places this fall. So I think I'm just going to enjoy as a fan from here on. I mean, it's tough enough to kind of get form if you're not putting eyes on players. And most of the important matches are happening in the twilight hours.
It's interesting that you say that. You've had a lot of tough losses. That has been a staple of 2022, hasn't it? There have been a lot of brutal losses. I'm about to have one right now, by the way, on a Roncharoos. I have a Roncharoos as a $3 dog against Maria Sakkari. Roos wins the first set. Sakkari wins the second. You know what's about to happen, right? Like, it's totally going to happen.
Yeah, of course. When you have a strategy that typically finds your value, or you're finding value on the dog, this is the way it goes sometimes.
Yeah.
You make a good bet. It's still not likely to happen. But this has been a one degree off of just an all-time type of season.
I'll give you one, we'll go back to football here, but I had Lulu's son. There was a match the other night. She was a $6 dog. And I took her, I was like, this shouldn't be $6. Like, this should be like $2, right? And I can't even remember who she played. But she ended up losing like in 7-6, 7-5, right? In a tiebreaker, and then she was competitive. And I'm just like, there it is, right? Like, you still got to make those bets. It's still a plus EV bet, but it just hasn't worked out, I guess, is what we're saying here. That, ladies and gentlemen, is betting on sports and betting on tennis specifically. All right, back to football. So you like the Bengals. And again, I thought that was a great breakdown of why that's a great spot for the Bengals and the opposite for the Dolphins. What sticks out for you on Sunday? What have you bet already?
Yeah, I'm kind of dancing around the card this week. It's tough to find big-time meaningful angles, especially on Sunday. The only meaningful bet I have besides Bengals going into this weekend is actually Monday's game. I like the Rams against the Niners by a decent amount. I think they should be favored.
I'm so glad you said that, right? Because so on guessing lines on Monday, we go through the whole schedule. Yeah, I have a couple discrepancies. And we get to the Monday night game, and obviously it's the last one because we do it chronologically. And so we're up against the wall, and I'm like, Rams by 3. And it's Niners by like 2.5 or 3 at that time. And so Las Vegas, Chris texts me. He's like, ha, that was embarrassing. I'm like, really? Was it? I'm so with you on this.
I think it could still get there. I mean, the Monday games always take action in a little bit more of a funny, like, market cycle, right? I'm sure you've noticed this, but like the Monday game market cycle is different than everything on, surely on Thursday, but even the Sunday games, it's a little different. People tend to be like, I'll deal with Monday when we get closer, right? And so maybe this is, we still have time for this one to mature a little bit. But you see what's going on with the Chargers market, right? Like the Chargers number has absolutely collapsed.
Yeah.
Against the Texans.
Right.
Right. People are taking their hard earned money and they're walking to the window and betting on Lovie Smith and the Texans and Davis Mills. I don't know if they saw Davis Mills last week against the Bears, but best of luck to those folks who are so confident in the Texans. But that number has collapsed largely because of the injury to Rashawn Slater. And I mean, also there's a realistic potential that Herbert does not go. We can, that's maybe an interesting conversation in its own right. But, I think the Slater downgrade to Storm Norton is absolutely massive, right? And people recognize that. People are expecting the Chargers offense not to be anywhere close to their realistic expectation in that market. And so for that reason, that number's collapsed. Well, what is different about what's going on with the Niners right now? The Niners lost their only viable offensive lineman in Trent Williams.
Yes.
And I mean, did you see what happened after he went out of that game?
Like, yes.
The offense, like the wheels completely came off of that offense. And they were, they have had trouble so far this season really getting any push in their run game. A lot of the blocking scheme that has been so devastating and really kind of unlocked the potential of the Shanahan offense in the last handful of years is relied on solid offensive line play. And you look across that unit right now, it's bottom five. I'm sorry, but they have some serious, serious questions about what's going on there. And then you add into the mix the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo looks completely out of sorts in, with what he's being asked to do. And the fact that they just, they have a bunch of players dinged up. And the Rams, the Rams have not been, they've looked rusty through 3 weeks of the season, but they're still getting wins. And now Aaron Donald and some of the kind of, more effective pieces of that defense on that D line get to go against this offensive line and Jimmy G, who, they were able to kind of put that NFC championship game away so effectively. Like, that was 100% on the D line winning their 1v1s. I think the Rams are in really, really solid shape here. And, people are leaning on the fact that Shanahan has picked McVay's pocket over the years,
right,
just based on scheme. But You know, that was with a very, very different team. And the Niners defense may ultimately be a really, really good unit once the dust settles. And, you know, if you have them rated in the top three right now, I'm not really here to argue that. But the way this offense is operating right now, the Rams have, you know, a very, very strong ability to, you know, kind of just dictate field position in this one and, you know, really keep them in at a disadvantaged spot. So they only need a couple of successful drives, in my opinion, to put this game out of reach. And I think the Rams win ultimately.
I would argue, first of all, and I'll say this again, when Jimmy Garoppolo was decided that he would stay with the Niners this offseason, I made Niners futures bet. So I'm like, I'm not a Niners hater at all. Like, I really think it's a good, it's a good football team. But the Trent Williams thing, you hit on it. It's perfect. He's a 7-time Pro Bowler, for goodness sakes. Like, that's a massive, massive thing. And the Niners may yet be okay. But I would argue, let me see if you agree with this, I would argue that it's 2 weeks in a row now where the Niners have been involved in the most peculiar spread of the week. Like, I thought that Broncos, well, now I know, I get it, the Broncos ended up winning. But they shouldn't have, for God's sakes. They had 9 3 and outs. We went through it on Guessing Lines, a litany of things as to why they probably shouldn't have won that football game. I mean, both teams were not good, that's for sure. But the Broncos were a special kind of not good. And so the Niners just seems to be the team, I guess what I'm saying, that the market is the most peculiar on from my vantage point.
Yeah, second year in a row, honestly.
Yeah.
You can look at
second
some of the
year
market,
in a row, yeah. Yeah.
Second year in a row. Last year, there were some games where it was just head-scratching. What is going on with this team? Why are they being bet this week? Why is there no support this week? Like, it was... it's tough to really figure out who they are, what their identity is right now. And I think a lot of people came out of that Broncos Niners game. I agree with your take. They win that game 60% of the time if they kind of replay it. But I think the people came out of that takeaway as like, well, maybe the Broncos defense is really good. And I came away with this Niners offense is in deep trouble. And, you know, the Rams defense has had some moments this year. Like, you look at a game like the Bills. The Bills came out with just such a good game plan. Like, I don't hold that against the Rams defense. And, the Falcons offense is better than the market thinks. So I don't hold that against them that they let them cover that game. And that, you know, a lot of those points were scored in garbage time. And, you know, we flip now to, a game like this against the Niners. The Rams defense should absolutely show up in this contest. And Niners, for what it's worth, like, maybe their pass rush has an ability to dictate this game because the Rams still are figuring out their offensive line. But for what it's worth, I make the Rams minus about 118 here. So I think anything in the plus money range for them on the money line is a bet.
All right, just for giggles, because we only have a minute left. I know you don't love anything on Sunday, but what are you considering? Give me one game that you're considering here.
I bet a couple of totals that have completely nuked. You got to keep your eyes on the weather report here, but I caught a 55 in the Bills Rams under. That's that 51.5, which is my fair price. I caught an under in the Cardinals Panthers game. Another, interesting weather situation there. I got an over in the Browns Falcons that I think that I'm pretty excited about as well, but four sides. I'm gonna nibble a little bit here. I nibbled a little bit on Ravens at plus 3.5 when it was a flat 3.5. I think that's going to be a game that lands three either way. And I'm probably gonna end up taking the points with the Jaguars. It's a really bad spot. But ultimately I can only get to 3.5 with my fair price there. And so getting 6.5 is I'm just going to have to settle with that.
Drew, it wouldn't be you if you didn't like the Jaguars there. your Jaguars love and your Cam Nori hate. That is just staples of a Drew Dinsick segment. Always love that. Thank you, man. Appreciate it as always. At @whale_capper, deep dive with Andy Molitor, NBC Sports, Bet the Edge. That's where you can find Drew. Thank you, Drew.
Hey, best luck, guys.
Drew Dinsick, everybody, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Michael Craig from Right Angle Sports, no release, but he's got thoughts on college football next.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game, proudly, as always, brought to you by BetMGM Nevada, right here from the South Point Hotel Casino, tip of the strip. Gil Alexander. Once again, attention BetMGM customers, have a friend who loves sports as much as you do. Well, here's a chance for both of you to earn a $50 bonus when you sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign into your BetMGM account, click on the Refer a Friend program to send your friend a message, inviting them to register a new account in the same state that you use BetMGM in. Once your friend signs up and makes a deposit, they'll receive a $50 bonus. And once your friend places a bet with their bonus and the wager settled, you'll receive a $50 bonus as well. Share the excitement at BetMGM and get a $50 bonus. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable site credit. Site credit expires in 30 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi and Nevada. We get tweets at Beating the Book, Andy McNeil, letting us know that the NHL Pacific Division betting preview is coming up next hour as we start some hockey talk. Dommy Gunn, always a fan of Drew's. Here's a pic from 4 years ago. He's sending pics of Drew on a boat with them in South Florida. Drew, by the way, also letting them know how to build buildings during an earthquake. Man, in case you were curious, Drew's your guy for that as well. This is from New York Mess 16, pointing out for me. He says, Gil, the home game against the Giants for the Packers is being played in London. Yes, thank you for that clarification. That is absolutely the case. I was saying earlier how Green Bay, not only can you pick them in Survivor this week, but they also have home games against the Giants and the Jets. Well, the Giants would be in London. Ladies and gentlemen, this gentleman has been kind enough to come on the show the last couple weeks from Right Angle Sports and release picks for us. He's not doing that today, but the first week it was a Wyoming play at plus 17. They end up winning outright. And then last week, the over in the Utah State UNLV game, I believe it was 61 was the number, 43 first half points were scored, and then it didn't get there. Michael Craig joins us from Right Angle Sports. How you doing, Michael? Sometimes it just works out that way, huh?
Sometimes it works out that way. Six turnovers for Utah State certainly didn't help the cause. But, yeah, looking easy into half. But, yeah, didn't make it there, unfortunately.
Yeah, five picks for Utah State as well. Just, oh, it's brutal. Okay, so now the reason, one of the reasons that we're not doing this now is, and you alluded to this last week when we were on the show, Right Angle Sports, again, for those who are just landing on this show for the first time, really, I would say this with you not here either, as respected as it comes in sports betting, but you really, in addition to college football, what you're really truly, you're known for college football, what you're really truly known for is college basketball. You guys make the transition at this point of the year, huh?
We do. I think that's the difference between us and other services out there that do both. We like to give ourselves a lot of time. You know, there's 360-ish teams that we're going to be looking at for college hoops, so tons of preparation. Doesn't mean we totally quit on football. We'll still do the CFB Plus service, which will be a couple plays every Saturday morning. I think in the future it's possible if we added some staff that maybe we do run the college football service, the full service, longer into the season. I think the important thing that we want to do, we just want to ensure that it's going to be quality plays throughout the duration of the season. So that's really, you know, we know we can do the CFB Plus on Saturday mornings and have smaller volume. I think it's just going to be a case moving forward to see how much volume we can get that we believe is actually quality plays, quality bets out there.
All right. Well, one of them is, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, other than that, yeah, it turns into, well, you know, probably a week of decompressing and taking a little break and then getting into reading about all the college hoops teams and the changes that have been made, coaching, player-wise, personnel, you know.
Yeah, but you live for that, don't you, though? You love that stuff.
That's the older I get, the less I live for it. But, no, I look forward to it, but I know it's a lot of work leading into it. It's a lot of work for all of us. And that's one of the benefits of me being back at Raz is there are a lot of people. So it's probably going to be, I don't know, it might actually be a little bit less work for me this year because there's other people contributing to the preparation.
Okay. Well, you didn't completely, as you said, you didn't completely abandon college football, and you did have a play in the Pac-12. You had a play on the UW-UCLA game. Which way did you go here?
We sent out on Monday Washington -2.5, -115, mostly a play. A couple of things here. A play against UCLA's defense a little bit. Didn't have much returning production there. I don't think they've played a very tough schedule at all. Even against Alabama State, they were passed on at an okay rate, and that's a bottom, probably a bottom I don't know, bottom 30 or 40 team in FCS. And then, you know, played very even against South Alabama. And South Alabama looks pretty good, but they did move the ball on UCLA. On the flip side, you have Washington. I haven't been a Michael Penix fan the past few years. I actually thought he was very, very overrated. But he gets, you know, Washington's new coach, Coach DeBoer, was the offensive coordinator at Indiana when Penix actually was playing well there. Look at their stats this year. Their pass offense has actually been really, really good. Penix has looked great. So yeah, mathematically, you know, we didn't show much of an edge here. We had it maybe around 3.5, 4, but we're kind of banking on UCLA's defense being finally going against a high end offense here, really not being able to stop Washington. So along with that, probably a little bit of an overlean here because I do think UCLA has a pretty good offense and probably a lot of plays around here. Good tempo in this game as well.
You have Penix and Washington, as you said, when you released it at -2.5. For those who are seeing it painted at -3 across the board, would you say play that at this number?
I mean, obviously not as good as 2.5, but we're getting down to land 3 -105. I still think there's value in it. Obviously not as good of a bet, but it's not. The current number isn't too different from what we released it at. If you're getting -3, -105.
Yeah, you're not going to hate on anybody if they play it for all the reasons stated there. Okay. Yeah. What else in college football beyond that game? What else are you looking at where you're like, oh, this is worth noting?
I know everybody likes to hear about the big games, so I will say we did bet some Oklahoma at -5.5. It's currently at 6.5. I look at this. We look at this TCU team, and they've been pretty good so far. But again, the competition they've played Colorado, really down on Colorado this year, as I think everybody is. Season win total was 2.5 for Colorado. Tarleton State, they played pretty well against SMU last week, but I'm just not sold on where we're rating TCU at this point. And Oklahoma, despite losing last week, I thought Oklahoma might crush K-State, but then just because Martinez had been so bad at quarterback, but he came out and played really well last week. But Oklahoma actually didn't play poorly from an offensive standpoint in that game, and they were pretty good overall. So just from a numbers perspective, I just can't justify – I'm not sold enough on TCU to justify this line being less than 7. So I do still think there's value at Oklahoma -6.5, which is the current price.
Alabama, Arkansas, about where it should be? In your opinion?
Yeah, I don't even get into those games very much. But yeah, I had it very close to where the number is.
Give us something obscure. This audience can handle it. What are you? Something obscure? Yeah.
Prepare for something obscure, but
I'm all about it.
Let me look at the rotation here. Let's just talk about weather in general.
Yes.
There's been a lot of talk among a lot of people that, you know, there's been some over adjustments with betting unders due to the expected hurricane this weekend. One big game that I'll talk about, I guess, the Clemson NC State game. I think no matter how low this went, there's been some talking, you know, playing back on the over since these totals have adjusted so far downward. The Clemson NC State game is one game where I would not play over. I know Clemson offense looked pretty good last week against Wake. But I'm just not sold on that offense at all. From a passing perspective, I'm not buying the small sample size one game improvement there last week. I'm just not into this Clemson team. I don't think they're a top five team. NC State's got a pretty good pass defense. NC State also has had a lot of trouble on offense this year. So this is one game where, despite the weather, I wouldn't be looking back to play over.
No, that's good advice. I'm with you on the Clemson thing of not being a top five team, and I don't think you have to particularly be a college football expert to come to that conclusion with this outfit, Michael.
People criticize me for saying, "How about not top 10?" Because I'll get criticized for, "Oh, of course they're not."
Yeah,
not top 10.
Not top 10. That's a little more bold. I got to run, Michael, unfortunately. But thank you for all that. And let's have you doing more college football. And when college basketball starts, let's do it here as well.
I need to do my studio visit when I'm out there.
And yes. When is that?
In late October. So we got some Razz people out there. So we'll all stop in.
Love it. Thank you, Michael. Michael Craig, everybody. You can follow him on the Twitter machine, MJC257. Is that the Twitter handle, Matt Santos? MJC257, I believe. By the way, your pro tip this hour, with the Dolphins and the Bengals, Drew Dinsick did a great breakdown of that. The Bengals have the edge with the Dolphins this week, coming off the short week. Dolphins not being able to practice due to weather. It really is a confluence of events that makes it one of the better spots you could possibly have if you're a Bengals fan or backer. Mike McDaniel making his Thursday night debut. That's your pro tip of the hour right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming back on the other side with Mike Pritchard next.